Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
Okay. Here are the real versions of those pearls of wisdom. Do not walk behind me, for I may not lead. Do not walk ahead of me, for I may not follow. Do not walk beside me either. Just leave me the heck alone. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a broken fan belt and a leaky tire. It's always darkest before dawn. So if you're going to steal your neighbor's paper, that's the time to do it. Don't be irreplaceable. If you can't be replaced, you can't be promoted. No one is listening until you make a mistake. I got some amens out of here. Let's see. Always remember you're unique, just like everyone else. Never test the depth of the water with both feet. It may be that your sole purpose in life is simply to serve as a warning to others. If you think nobody cares if you're alive, try missing a couple of car payments. Before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you have their shoes. If at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. Give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach him how to fish and he will sit in a boat and drink beer all day. I thought I'd get more out of the women on that one, really. If you lend someone $20 and never see that person again, it was probably worth it. I didn't say I had verses to back these up. I'm just reading them. Don't squat with your spurs on. Some days you're the bug. Some days you're the windshield. How many of you feel like the bug today? There you go. Lots of windshields then. Good judgment comes from bad experience. And a lot of that comes from bad judgment. I'm going to have to go over that. I'm going to have copies of these for everybody who doesn't get them. Here's a good one. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it in half and put it back in your pocket. A closed mouth gathers no foot. Duct tape is like the Force. It has a light side and a dark side, and it holds the universe together. I got a man back there going, that's right, that's right. There are two theories to arguing with women. Neither one works. All right, I'll give you one more here. On our 25th anniversary, my husband took me out to dinner. Our teenage daughters said they'd have dessert waiting for us when we returned. After we got home, we saw that the dining room table was beautifully set with china, crystal, and candles, and there was a note that read, "Your dessert is in the refrigerator. We are staying with friends, so go ahead and do something we wouldn't do." I suppose my husband responded, "We could vacuum." All right. Well, the title of today's message is You Just Wait. And I think I understand that now. I think that's I don't know if that's a cop-out for moms is where this thing works. If you ever had a mom who you did something, and she said something like, "You just wait till what? Your daddy gets home." Now see, my mama whipped me and then said that. So I knew I was already in trouble and he was gonna come with the second wave, you know, that deal. But something about you just wait, and there's something terrible. I think you'd rather get spanked and have it over with than you just wait till your daddy gets home. Because now what you got to do? You just got to wait. And you're, you know, who was it? Was it me? Couldn't have been me. I would never have done this. I think it was my sister or brother. There you go. One day that whole thing happened and they were going to get a spanking and they were pretty young and so it was pretty obvious. I think it was my little brother. And he took some big old books. I mean, big old books for his butt. But anyhow, and he shoved them down in his little pants where you could see like the contour of these big old books. And he was, you know, he's going to get spanked, but he thought he was safe. Of course, you know, when you got book butt, it's pretty obvious. So, you know, now when I'm a parent, I understand this stuff. If you look at your kids and you're trying not to laugh. Have you ever been in that situation? You know, you're covering your face and you're turning your back and you come back serious and you go back. And so my parents finally, you know, removed the books and he got whipped anyway. But there's something about whether it's discipline or whatever it is in life about hearing you just wait. And I don't know where you are. Let's do a survey here. How many of you are in a spot where you are waiting for someone or something important in your life, though, to happen? Raise your hand. You're stuck in a waiting pattern, all right? That's a lot of people waiting on something. So what do you do while you wait? Anticipate? Pray? What else? Worry? There's an honest woman over here. Worry? Somebody said what else? Be frustrated? What else? Prepare. Well, that's an interesting one. How do you prepare while you wait? Clean up. Wait, go back to the prepare thing. Where is that prepare person back here? Okay, what do you mean prepare while you wait?
You're expecting a child or something, prepare.
So you prepare things while you wait. All right, now let me jump on this before we get too far away. Because a lot of times I sit down with people who are not married and they say, well, you know, they'll whip out this list. How many of you ever had one of these lists? Raise your hand. I got to see this. Yeah. I know about this. Everybody in here has had a list at some point. Either you have it written down or in your head, you've got a list. And this is a whole other topic we'll do sometime. But what I say to these people is they're waiting for this person. They got this list. They're waiting for this person to come along. And here's my comment. Become the person you're looking for. So while you're waiting for some person to show up that fits your list, you do what you expect them to be. You be that person so when they show up, they're going to look at you and say, well, you're what I've been waiting for. Instead of sitting on your books, you know. You know, say, okay, God, they're not here yet, but I'm not going to just sit here and do nothing. I'm going to wait for you, but I'm going to continue to be who you want me to be and do what you want me to do. So when the time comes, if it ever does, that it'll just be folding in together and moving on together, not this delay. And I've got some people that come to my mind on this waiting deal in terms of relationships right now that is frustrating. And you think, well, sometimes I think it's more women. Women got it all together. They're godly. They're praying. They're working out. Whatever it is they think they've got to do to, you know, to snag somebody. They're wearing the right size heels, you know, all that. Their calves are right, all that stuff, you know. They're doing all this stuff they think's going to snag a man. They're basically godly, though, and they don't get it. Where is this man? I say, well, he may not be ready. And so we think sometimes the women are ready, but this man's over here messing around, and one day he's going to be ready. But guys, it can go both ways. Sometimes there are men doing the right thing. And you say, well, where are they? I'm not going to give you names because it'd be a stampede because there are only two or three that I know. But but they exist. I mean, there are some men out there doing the right thing. And it is very hard to say to a woman or a man, look, just hold on. Because in the right time, the right person, I mean, how many people are you looking for? I mean, I know somebody said, well, one at a time. You know, I don't want Mr. Right, I just want Mr. Right now. And, you know, you need one person, but you need to be one person in order to have one person and become one person the way God intends for you to do it. But when God says, just wait, that's very difficult sometimes. It's frustrating. You can worry. What if it never happens? And on the marriage thing alone, you know, people say, well, do you think God's got someone for me? I say, well, I hope so, you know, but I can't read you a verse that guarantees that. Some people extrapolate, well, if you, you know, he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, is that a guarantee? I don't know, but I'd be more interested in chasing after him than after somebody else and just see what happens. Because even if you get that person, people die. I mean, don't wrap your life up in somebody else, some other person. But what do you do if you're in that waiting deal? And I've gone through talking about things that happened between Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And one of these deals is he tells him just to wait. And in Acts 1, well, let's read the end of Luke first. Luke 24, I think I mentioned the other day, the road to Emmaus where Jesus spoke with him. There's a place here where he shows up again and he says, you know, give me something to eat. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, the promise was the Holy Spirit. Then verse 49, he says, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then I'll read you this in Acts as well in a minute. Well, let's just do that. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded, Jesus was with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now, here is the danger, and I don't think it was just then, but it's now. God gives you a promise. He says in the scriptures, you're reading the scripture, and he says, this is the deal. I will not leave you or forsake you, or whatever the promise, and you read it. You're sitting there, you're looking at it. It's right there in black and white or red, whatever you've got, and you are reading it. And God says, now don't do anything till I fulfill this promise. Wait. And you say, okay. And for that moment, you're calm, you're fine. Okay, I can wait. I can wait. And the devil says, okay, yeah, we're going to wait. And then you get in your car, go off to work, the day, the rush, another day goes by, and the devil starts saying, so where is he? Ain't going to happen. You're crazy. All your friends think you're crazy. You're doing the right thing. Let's go have a good time. Let's go party. What are you waiting for? And God says, just wait. You say, but God, I'm getting tired of waiting. If you move, and in this case, if they had gone and tried to do what ultimately happened as a result of their waiting, they would have fallen flat on their face. Now, there's a period of weeks here where Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. You'll know it's time because power will hit you. The power of God will hit you in such a way, and God will do what needs to be done. You wait till that happens. Now, the same thing happens to me that happens to you that could have happened to them if they had not waited. And that's that God says, wait. We get going along and we get tired of waiting for his timing and his power. So we take it into our own hands and our timing and under our own power and try to make something happen. I remember, you know, there's funny things when you're a kid, you can't remember a lot of stuff, but there's some things you can just like recreate. You can just call up a file and almost have a picture. I remember my parents taking us to see a movie. I can't remember if it was Sound of Music when it just came out. Whatever it was, but we went to the movie, they dropped us off, we went into the movie, and they said, now when the movie is over, come out of the theater and wait right here until we get back. Now we went in the movie, I mean, I'm like 6, 7 years old. My sister's older, we're safe, everything's fine. We go in the movie, it was daylight when we went in, and we came out and it was dark. And there's my big sister, myself, we're standing there on the curb, okay? And we're waiting, and the movie's out, and these people are leaving, they're getting their cars driving off, and we're waiting, they're leaving, we're waiting, they're leaving. And my mom's not there, and my sister's there, and I'm getting a little scared, nervous, and this car drives up beside us. And this man rolls the window down and looks out and says, are you all okay? And we said, uh-huh, and he said, well, do you need a ride? And we said, well, no, our mom's supposed to be here. And he said, well, would you like me to give you a ride home? And you know what we said? Sure. Now, man, I'm telling you, you think as a parent today, what can happen to a kid on the planet today? I mean, that's 30-something years ago. And we got in the car with this man. And he took us home. Now, it turned out okay. You know, I had minor brain damage. That was about all that came out of it. But it was, I mean, he took us home. It was okay. But you know what? It wasn't okay. because my mama told me where to wait. And though we made it home safe, we weren't safe when we got home, if you know what I mean. You know, I got in trouble anyway. Why? Was it that she was mad that we didn't wait? Not just that. We could have been killed, literally. And I know what that feels like now as a dad. If I tell my kids in the world the way it is today, I mean, you better kiss them goodbye if you don't train them to wait. Now, why is it so frustrating with us as parents, or if you've got somebody like that at your work, you tell people to do something, especially with little kids, you tell them, do this, trust me, it's the right thing, it's the best thing to do, just wait. And then they don't. You know why it frustrates? It's not just that they're disobeying, they can get killed, they can get hurt. Terrible things can happen. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons God set the world up the way he did, where he gives us children, is he says, now, I'm going to show you what this deal's like. This is what I'm, as your father, putting up with you as my child. And I tell you to wait, and you go run off and get in the car with some stranger, literally sometimes. Go out on a date with some perfect stranger. Somebody drops something in your drink. You wake up in bed or in the shower somewhere, as a friend of mine told me the day, the girl just terrified. She went out partying and woke up somewhere completely where she did not know where she was or what had happened, what she had been through, anything. Somebody dropped one of these, you know, new drugs that are out there on her. And she didn't know what had happened to her or anything. That'll wake you up, you think. And God says, look, I'm not trying to ruin your life, kill your life, take all the fun out of your life, but there's some stuff that works, some stuff that doesn't. Just wait. I mean, there's stuff like going to buy a new car or a house, or there's just stuff God knows that you don't know. And you just got to listen. And if he says, wait, wait. And if you are in a situation and you're about to go buy a car and the Holy Spirit who lives in you, if you're a believer, says, wait, then just call him up and say, I can't go through with it. If you're about to buy a house and you know it's going to do something to you, put you in a financial bind, and the Holy Spirit's saying, wait, wait. If you're about to sleep with some guy or some girl, the relationship's at that point, you're not married to him, wait. You say, well, why do you keep bringing that up? Because this is where people live day in and day out. You're sober. You've been sober a long time, and you can't take the stress anymore, and you're about to go have a drink. I'm not saying wait. I'm saying don't. But whatever it is, don't be stubborn like a little kid who gets into trouble, and we go, well, those silly children, why don't they ever learn? You know, we have to keep spanking them and disciplining them. Why don't they ever figure out if they just do the right thing, they'd live longer and be happier? And God says, well, that's exactly what I'm trying to do with you. Just wait. Listen to me, wait, and don't move until I move you. See, the thing that happened in Acts, and there's a lot of churches out there trying to simulate Pentecost and crank this thing back up. The Bible describes the things that happen in the Bible when the Spirit is like the wind that blows. You can't make the wind blow. And there are churches who have enough money, who have enough whatever, that they can seal all the windows and turn the fans on and make it feel like the wind's blowing. I'll tell you what scares me a little bit about church sometimes is that you can get the music going just right, the temperature right. You can get a groove and a feel going, man. You got goosebumps and the stories are great and you're crying and all emotional and God hadn't even shown up. I'll tell you how you know when God's shown up. Stop the music, stop everything, and be still and quiet. And see if the wind blows. There are times on a Sunday morning, at least with me, where, you know, a breeze kicks up. And it's nothing. It isn't a show. Nobody making it happen. The other day at church, somebody was supposed to sing a special song. Tape loaded, you know, those nightmare deals. And the tape's in there and it all has to move. You know, we got a song. We got a song. The preacher's got to preach. Get that song, you know. So the thing's loaded, hit play, nothing. So I'm sitting there and she's standing there, and we got no music. So we sit there a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, I guess we're not going to have any music right now. Lord, what you got now? So we sat there a little bit, and I whispered to her, I said, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, you can sing a cappella, sing that. So it got quiet for a little longer, and she started to sing. And I'm going to tell you what, the breeze started to blow, and technical difficulties became spiritual power. And she sang and sang that a cappella thing, and all of a sudden in the background that tape kicked in and she kicked into her song. But you know what? It wasn't manufactured wind. It was a spiritual breeze that blew, and God did it His way in His time and in spite of whatever we were trying to do. And sometimes you just got to get out of the way and say, you know what, God, I can't make this happen. And I'm going to sit here and do whatever you tell me to do until you tell me to do something different or until you move me to do something, or I'm going to prepare in the meantime, whatever it is, but I'm not going to cross this line or step out of bounds unless you give me permission to. And I'm telling you, when He tells you to do it, I had to, you know, and I sometimes I hesitate to tell you guys these things because you think, well, it's too simple. But it's so simple. I've got one of these cell phones with these little head clip things. I think I'm getting a tumor in my head from, you know, being on the phone so much. So I got this little clip thing I put in my ear and, you know, have people standing around, look like they're talking to each other on these things. Don't do it. You look like an idiot when you do this. But I've got this thing, and the other day it broke. And a friend had bought this for me, and I just didn't want to go spend the $30 to get another one. And every time I'd go to buy one, I just got this weight. And I didn't buy one, so I kept talking on the phone. I walk in the office of the day, and on the desk is one of these cords. And I went, well, what's that? She said, oh, I found it on the street out here. On the street out here. Whose is it? Oh, I don't know. I found it on the street. I looked down at the thing. God said, well, I told you to wait. You say, well, that's coincidence. Well, if you want to live that way, that's fine. I just think God's got a way of maneuvering through your life if you'll just wait. Eye has not seen, the scripture says, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. He wants better for you than anybody. Now you say, well, what's the message today? Just wait. You just wait. You say, but what if He doesn't come through? Then the whole universe is going to fall apart. That's all at stake. Because His word is at stake. And if He tells you something, especially if you find it in Scripture and you can confirm it through other people, just wait. It's worth the wait. And He'll take care of you and He will come through.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. And our Father, I thank You for these people and everyone who's listening to this message today, Lord. And it's not very complicated, but Lord, it's so profound in the consequence. And I don't know who is where or what all the details of each circumstance are, but You know, Father, and You know where this is hitting the individual people. And I pray that You'd give us not only wisdom to heed these words, but also the courage to do whatever it is You want us to do. And sometimes doing the right thing means doing nothing, means waiting. Or as has been said, preparing along the way until You come through. But Lord, please help us see that if there's no peace, if there's no permission to move forward, then it's better just to, if there's a doubt, don't. And to be still and know that You're God and wait till You say to move or turn to the right or the left. And Father, at some point, the right answer is to just wait. But Lord, in some people's lives, that's not the right answer, especially when it comes to receiving the gift of eternal life. And there have been so many voices in so many heads for so long. And sometimes it's the devil saying, just wait. When you're saying, today is the appointed day, don't harden your heart. And Lord, there are people listening today that need to say yes and need to stop waiting. And need to say, God, I know I've sinned, I've screwed up, I need Your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for me in heaven that He offers as a free gift. And I don't want to live without it, and I sure don't want to die without it. I confess my sin. I ask You to forgive me, to come live in me and through me. I receive this gift of eternal life that He lived, died, was buried and raised from the dead to pay for. Come live in me, live through me, change my life, the world around me, and let me discover the purpose and the meaning that You intended for me, and give me the wisdom to not take a step without You, to walk in the Spirit, to go when You say go, to stop when You say stop. Lord, teach us to obey, to trust you and obey, and understanding there's really no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We love you today, Father, and I pray that we would do whatever it is you've told us to do in our specific circumstances this day. And we pray it all in Jesus' name, who makes it possible. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.